Good. Okay. So a big welcome to you all. Welcome to this free seminar. We're here for an hour together, more or less. And welcome from all different parts of the world. So my name is Peter. I'm your host, focusing teacher, and I'll be sharing this theme more fully. I like to start everything I do with a bit of time to arrive, and also allows other arrivals to. So I'll guide us in a kind of focusing style, tuning into ourselves. So all you need to do is be comfortable. You can have your eyes open or closed, I don't mind. And just follow the instructions. If you want to do your own thing in those 2 or 3 minutes, then that's also fine. But it's a time to settle and arrive a little in your bodies. Okay, so have your eyes open, eyes closed. And this is not about trying to make yourself suddenly change. It's more just giving yourself a chance to arrive and notice how you are. So maybe you could start that by noticing whatever you're sitting on. It could be the chair, or if you're standing or lying or wherever you are, notice the contact with that which is supporting you. And underneath whatever you're sitting on, of course, is somewhere down there, is the land, is the earth. We always have something holding us in that way. So noticing that in your body, just through contact and weight, and the sense of pressure. And then maybe noticing inside yourself, perhaps with the breath. You could use the breath as a way in, or just you're taking your awareness inwards. Noticing your throat and your chest, your belly. The whole middle area, that landscape where we feel many things. How is that right now? Maybe there's a lot stirring in there from your life and from what's happening all around us. Or maybe it's quite quiet. So wherever you find yourself, just noticing that. Or acknowledging, you might say to yourself, okay, this is here. Whatever feeling or sensation, this is here. So everything is welcome, wherever you find yourself now, whatever feelings are there. Are welcome. It may not be easy. We may find ourselves pushing things away or not knowing how we feel, and all of that is welcome too. So just take another 30 seconds just noticing how you are in this moment. And then bringing that to a close, you might move a little if you've been still, move your hands and even stretch. Here we are. Yeah, it's a big welcome. Yeah, I'm wanting to acknowledge these times are in. I don't know about you, I spent most of my day on Zoom today in meetings like this. Our life has become digital in much more. And yeah, that has many benefits, but also may not be so easy for you. So, but yeah, there's a lot going on. There's a lot. So I'm aware I'm sort of offering this topic in the context of a very affecting situation. So that's all here. We're all living it, aren't we? We're all living it in our bodies in some way. Yeah, I'm just wanting to acknowledge that. So I want to check very briefly who here is new to focusing. Okay, newish. So yeah. I'm just curious as to how much to say about context. So very briefly, so I'll give an overview. So tonight is really about using an application of focusing in taking focusing to difficult, tangled areas of our lives. But more broadly, let's just say something about focusing. So focusing is a practice of listening to what our body, our being knows at a deeper level beyond our conscious, let's say our conscious mind or something. It's in a way a natural language of the body. I liken it to dreams. You know, if we dream, our dreams are speaking to us if we listen. And in the same way, focusing takes us in the same direction. We begin to tune into what it's knowing, it by its knowing. So, and as a practice, you can do it in many ways. You may already do it and not call it that. It's a very natural thing. That's important to say. It's natural. You can do it on your own. Just informally or formally, and you can practice it in pairs. Many people here already do that. And it has many applications. So you could use focusing to explore decisions or use focusing to explore creativity. And it's used a lot in work, healing work, both therapeutically with client work, but also individually in your own healing journey. That's how I've used it. So focusing, that's the application really today, is focusing applied to those areas of our life that are really stuck, that we might have tried everything with and we still don't get anywhere. Typically these might involve, you know, like in the subtitle of the talk, like addictive patterns or resistance, procrastination. So they're kind of the everyday labels we use for these stuck places, self-sabotage. So today we're really exploring what is that? What goes on in that kind of loop? And we'll look at the kinds of things we meet. The landscape of that. We're opening up the landscape of those kinds of situations and what focusing can offer there. And there'll be time for some questions, a little bit of exploration in a minute. I'm just maybe pausing for a moment just to check everyone is okay with Zoom. Are there any technical questions before I carry on about using Zoom? Okay, I'll assume it's all fine. So let's get a bit of paper. You'll need a piece of paper and a pen. And I invite you just a moment of reflection. So put a circle in the middle of your paper. And in that circle, can you see? Oh yeah, in a circle. I'm write down. Or name, let's say name, I use that word, name some difficult, tangled area in your life. So, in other words, not just like a problem, there's a difference between a problem and a tangle or a stuckness. A problem is something we know we can overcome, like we might be ill and we know we're going to get better, A tangle is something that doesn't really resolve itself, no matter how much you've looked at it. So addictions are a good example of that, or some compulsive behavior, or avoiding something. Or so in there, and no one has to see this, it's entirely private, but write down, name your tangle. I'm going to write Netflix. I can end up watching a lot of Netflix or streaming, whatever it is, doesn't matter which brand it is. So that's so just name it. Name your tangle, name your difficulty, your stuckness. And then draw another circle around it. Like so. So we end up with a donut. And in the second circle, write some words that describe how you feel about this. How do you feel about this in your life? Do you like it? Do you not like it? What are your reactions to it? What are your feelings about it, this tangle? Does that make sense? Yeah. So some of your responses to it, not just now as you think of it, but also over time, like what have been your feelings about it? So just spend a minute writing down. Or you could even write down some of the things you hear yourself saying about it. Like, so not, there may not be feelings, but more as judgments we carry. So we'll end up with our initial trouble and some feelings about it. Even if it's just a sketch at the moment, just a broad picture, it's fine for the purposes of this evening. So I'd love to hear, and you can love to hear from some people. What's in this second circle for you? What kind of reactions, responses, feelings do you have about your stuck part of your life? You don't have to speak. You can put it into chat. So let me just pull that up. If you don't know how to use it, you make sure you're chatting to everyone. And when you type it on. So I'm going to put one word that came up for me. Shame. Sad. Yeah. So yeah, speak or share with the great fear. Yeah, fearful, confused, sadness, frustration, afraid. I did it again. Yeah. So some phrases are good like that too. Wanting, comfort. Yeah. Disappointment. I don't believe I can do it. Yeah. Exasperated. They're coming less nicely. You know. Yeah. Get a grip. Overwhelm, anger, want to avoid him, resistance, feeling of no choice. Lots of reactions. Rage. Exhaustion, yeah, irritation. I'm not reading everyone because I'm trying to type my own one.
Helpless.
Helpless, was that? Yeah.
In front of it,
yeah. When we face it, we feel helpless. Yeah, you're wasting your life. That's what I put in. Powerless.
Sorry, Peter, I haven't done Zoom before. I don't know how to find.
That's okay, you're speaking. Oh, you can't find the chat. Did you want to find the chat? You can speak also, Colette.
Well, it'd be good to know how to type as well.
Are you on a tablet or on a computer?
I'm on a laptop, yeah.
Okay, there should be a little chat. Can you see the chat popping up?
I've had a message with Saskia privately. I don't know how to get off private.
Oh, yeah, you should click on the little down arrow by the people, like the two, where it says two, and then select everyone. Can you see that? Where the chat box is. You should be able to select just above where you chat, basically. There should be a selection, and you can select everyone. If you can't, then it's all right. Can you see it?
Is it in the...
It's in the chat box
on
itself.
The right hand side, or
yeah. Well, in mine, it's on the right hand side at the bottom.
I'll send you a picture, Colette, and then you can see where it is. I've just screenshotted it.
Oh, thanks, that's good. Great. So, it's like with it, I missed some coming through. Stupid. What's wrong with me? I don't like it. Yeah.
Holding on, holding in.
Yeah. Thank you. So I'm going to pause there because there's lots of material to be with here. But I suppose what it demonstrates is how tangled our tangles are, how all our reactions to it are agendas, let's say. And not what I wouldn't say all of these, it depends on the situation, it depends on the feeling, but many of them are kinds of agendas we have with ourselves that make it almost impossible to get into the heart of it in a normal way. In a focusing way. It's like trying to listen to some really important message, and then there's loads of other like loud voices on top saying, "Don't go there," or "You're ridiculous," or it's like a crowd of parts that mean we can't hear the heart of the message. So I'm going to read a quote. And then maybe I'll pause actually before that. So many of these are parts of us. So I'm using a language here that you may or may not be familiar with from focusing, but many anything that has an agenda in this practice or in your life, anything that has an agenda in a way is a part of us. Something that we need to come into relationship with and be curious about. So anything that has that's telling us we're wrong, or that is pushing, or is fearful, or is critical, or judgmental—all of those are parts of us, part of the tangle. And unless we acknowledge those fully, it's almost impossible to get under the surface and into the business of untangling it. Into the business of, you know, when you try and untangle a knot, you have to do it very delicately. If you pull it, it gets worse. So the pulling is like this judgment. Oh, you're terrible at this. You shouldn't do that. We just can make it worse. So our job the task in focusing is to acknowledge these, all the different parts of us as parts, not as all of us. So I'll show you this in a minute. But I want to read a quote from one of my focusing teachers that really makes sense of this. So the quote goes like this. When people feel themselves stuck in a rut, frustrated at finding repetitive feelings and blocked life situations, it's important to remember that the felt sense of focusing arises freshly. It isn't the old feelings we've been having all week or all year. No matter how much we try and change a situation in our lives, we aren't going to get a true carrying forward until we can include the whole of it. So we can invite ourselves or our focusing partners to get a sense of the whole thing and describe it freshly. I like to say you might describe it as if you've never felt it before. And remember, there's no way to get a sense of the whole if we're identified with one aspect of it. So we need to be in presence, having said hello. I know you're there to any part of us that might be afraid, not liking, or not wanting to feel what we feel. It's when a fresh felt sense of the whole can come that real change can happen in our lives. So we need to be in presence, she says, having said hello. I know you're there to any part of us that might be, which is probably most of these, any part of us that might be not liking, afraid, not wanting to feel what we feel. I will send this quote out afterwards. So often in focusing, we try and tune into the wisdom of the body, to this inner knowing, and we get tangled because we have these other parts of us who are afraid of what we're going to feel, who don't like what we feel. So what do we do then? So this is where we get into the territory of how to unpick this tight knot. Yeah. So I just want to pause there. You can just pause for a moment because there may be a question or two. If someone has a question so far. Peter, so I want to,
can you expand a little bit on what you mean by parts of us having an agenda?
Yeah, I don't know who's speaking, so I can't see the...
I'm sorry, this is Izzy.
Oh, hi. Oh, there we are. Yeah, great. Yeah. Well, any part of us that is wanting to change things in the sense of always critical, wanting to change things, like wanting to push something or wanting to change something. Like an agenda is a kind of, we have a motivation, isn't it? It's like a that is normally quite narrow, like a narrow intention or not even intention. Yeah. So parts of us have that. Parts of us like will want us to get rid of this feeling. Parts of us won't want us to feel it. I mean, I'll say more about this in a minute. Does that make sense? Like a, or critical of us? Yeah. Yeah. So anything like that is another part of us, which we need to kind of say hello to, let's say. It's not you, it's not all of you. Okay. So I want to cut right to the heart of the matter, if I can, in a short period of time, and say, how is it that we end up with a tangle? So I'm going to give you a little kind of how these situations form in our lives, a sort of story, and I hope it makes sense. So what happens is the heart of a tangle is what Gendlin, the developer of focusing, calls a stopped process. So this is his term for something that should be flowing that isn't. It's like a river in our experience that hits an obstacle, stopped process. So that stopped process could be, you know, you needed love and affection and contact with somebody caring for you when you were younger. It could be you needed food, or you needed safety, or there are examples. So it's like something that we really needed fully to live fully as an organism gets stopped. So it's it meets a blockage. So Gendlin calls that stopped process. Now sometimes that river, as it's flowing, when it hits that blockage, can flow around it. It can adapt. Maybe you've already noticed this in your life, like right now. Many people's lives have changed, but we're adapting, some better than others. But we, you know, human beings are amazing. We're incredible. We can adapt. But sometimes what we need can't be found. Yeah, it can't be found. Like what is needed is impossible to have. You can't get love and affection because the people around you don't have it. Or if you mention that you need something, you get punished. Yeah. or maybe you need to run and escape, and you can't escape because you're trapped in some way. You know, there's all sorts of different scenarios where what we really need as a human being cannot be met, and we get I guess what you could call traumatic stoppage. So it's like it's stopped and it can't flow any further. So this blockage gives rise to the heart of the tangle, which is a kind of, I don't know how we'd describe it. Well, in Anne Weiser Cornell, she's one of my focusing teachers, in her model, she calls it a small one. There are basically three parts in a tangle. And the heart of it is a sort of unacknowledged need, unacknowledged process of a small one. They're not always small. This word doesn't fit for me. Small one. It's like the life that should have flown, the life that should have carried forward couldn't. So that energy in that life is sort of the small one. And it kind of holds a lot of knowing, that part of us. You know, you could call it an inner child. If it's not always a child, like I say, it's just some part of process that needs to happen. It could be something that happened as an adult. You know, we needed to feel safe, and we couldn't. So that's the first part. And then what happens? Because that's so painful, that experience of stoppage is so painful, other parts of us come into being to try and protect us from that pain. Yeah, to try and sort of soothe or manage the unbearable feelings. This is why it's so hard. This is why these areas of our life are so hard. So to manage the unbearable feelings, we get other parts of us come in, which I call safety guardians. They try and keep us safe. You could call them protectors. It doesn't really matter what you would call them, safety guardians. So these are the parts of us that try and soothe or try and manage the pain of that original blockage without much success. Well, they might bring us some numbing and some distraction, but the reason why they don't really bring resolution is because they're not the original thing that's blocked. If you like, that's the only one that's got the knowing of what needs to happen. This kind of, if you like to use that analogy of the river, that's the river knows where it needs to go. That's the only part of you that has that. Everything else is just managing it. So we get these other parts, safety guardians, which often create their own problems. So because these parts of us get us into addiction, they get us into numbing, they get us into distraction, they shut things down, and they're doing their best, absolutely doing their best. So don't want to make them bad. But then, so that's the second part. The third part, and I'll pause after this, because the second part doesn't really manage to stop it, we get a third kind of part, which we could call them critics or judges. Things like that. And these parts are trying to manage, but without having really anything they can do apart from shout about it. They're very much, if anyone here is a parent, you might know this. When you're trying to control a child and stop it doing something, but you really, you're just using words. You shouldn't do that, and that's a terrible thing to do, and you get critical and judgmental, and actually it doesn't have any effect. You're trying to control something just through the voice, almost. So these kinds of parts just tell, yeah, they say, I have a lot to say, but it can't really change the situation. They're still, in a way, they're protecting, they're trying to control, they're trying to manage it in a different way. So the three parts. So again, there's the small one, which is the original stopped process, the river that needed to flow. The second part is the parts that protect us from the unbearable feelings. And the third part's sort of the critics and the judges that get mad because that doesn't work. Or critical, or they get judgmental. Now, I'll pause there. It's very simplistic. There's a lot of detail to this model, but those are the three basic parts in a tangle. And a war of addiction. Let's take an example. A war of addiction is a war between two parts, between the part of us that doesn't want us to feel something, probably, you know, some kind of safety guardian. I don't want you to feel that pain. So we'll drink, we'll watch Netflix. It's a war between that and the other, another part of you that's saying, you shouldn't do that. That's terrible. You're such a bad person. You're an addict, and it would. You're pathetic, and you should be over this by now. And we're going to stop right now, and we stop, and then we come back and go around again. So it's often a war between parts. So I'm just going to pause. So those are the three parts. And how it, I don't know, maybe just checking, does that kind of make some sense in your understanding or as a model, or does it maybe fit something? Or not? Please, questions.
This thing about the small one. Does she mean it's like when we were small? When we were a child, some blockage happened that we have never resolved.
A lot of stopped process or blockages do happen when we're small. That's why they've named it that. But they're not always child-like parts. You know, for example, we get overwhelmed and as an adult, you know, if you were in a car accident or a medical procedure, or you might have these same things, you might not find enough safety. You might, the same tangle might get created even as an adult, is what I'm trying to say.
So what could we call it instead of the small one
then? Yeah, I don't know. If I had the same term, I'd tell you. But that's why I don't use it so much, but it's the best one I have, because it's not always small. The heart of it, yeah, you could call it the heart of it. Yeah, it's really the kind of the original pain that hasn't been met. But thanks, yeah, it's good. That's right. That's a good question. Or couldn't be met. There were not the resources to meet it. There's a question. Could you call these maladaptive behaviors? Yeah, that's another term that kind of fits these parts of us that are trying to manage the pain of it. And you can see why it's so hard to get into a tangle. If at the heart of it is kind of, well, at least part of that, what's in there is in some way unbearable, or it was unbearable. Let's say that it was unbearable at the time. But it may not be unbearable now. This is the good news, because you're big, you know, you're a big person, you're a grown up, and you have resources that you didn't have when you were smaller or before. So there is this capacity to meet that feeling or those feelings or those processes. And I'll pause again there.
Just clarify.
Yeah.
You know the second part.
Yeah, the safety guardians and the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is that, you know, in our diagram, the centre of the donut, and the third part is the outside ring?
Yeah, it depends on what you wrote in your donut, but in mine, let's have a look at that. I'll use that as an example. So in the middle, I've got Netflix.
Yeah.
My habit around that. And I've got, like, shame, you can't read the writing, and worry... You're addicted. You're wasting your life. I'm also curious. So anyway, I've got lots of different reactions. They're all mixed together in that donut. It depends on, but some of those are probably going to be more critical judgments. You shouldn't do this, and you shouldn't have got over it. You're pathetic. But some of them might be more. Every time you try and think about it, you just go sleepy, or you just want to avoid thinking about that topic. You know, you have avoidance around that, whatever's in the middle. Like, they could be more typically these safety guardians. They keep us safe.
So that that donut, that ring, has a mix of critics, or judges, and safety guards.
Yeah, probably. I mean, mine does. I'm just, I suspect. Yeah. So
you know, you wrote Netflix.
Yeah.
So that is not the safety guardian. That's not the thing.
Well, I suppose that was my name for the habit of which I think is a tangle in my life. Like, it's something, no matter what I think about, I end up not resolving. Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, there is some movement in that process, but basically it's a very strong habit. So Netflix, my something in me watches Netflix. That I would call a guardian. It takes me out of my experience into numbing. Not always. Not all Netflix is bad. Mm. I don't mean that in terms of the quality of the productions. I mean, not all watching is bad. but from how we do it, it's how it could be easily. Yeah, it could be food. You know, it could be those parts of us that take you to the fridge, or the parts of you that constantly go to your phone when you're bored. Or feeling uneasy. Here's the interesting thing. Safety guardians, it's like you're giving the keys of your... Oh, can you hear me? Somebody said they can't hear me. Can you hear me? Yeah, okay, somebody's... For some reason. Okay, I'm not sure why that is. Everyone else can hear me. Good. So it's like... Safety guardians are they work through behavior a lot. You know, so they're like they have keys to your body. It's like giving the keys to a teenager or a child who then takes over your body and takes you to the fridge. You know, we feel like we've been taken over when we get hijacked by these parts. So I'm never going to do that again. And then we do it again. There's a message here when you said this angle might be better. How good or bad is that in order to solve it? I'm not sure I can understand the question, Jose. Maybe you could. Yeah, try it. Say it another way. Yeah. Take your time. So, while that's happening, in a way, we have. I'm going to give you an image for this now because I like to. So, we have three parts. So I've got three toys. So, in the middle, we've got the part of us that wants to say something want to do something. It's not yet been heard, hasn't spoken, and then we get another part of that takes us away. I don't know why it's a lemur. You know, it would like I'm going to make you not feel this. We'll never feel that again. And then we get a third part that's critical about this whole thing. You shouldn't do that behavior. It's terrible. And I'm so ashamed of it. And you'll never get over this anyway. Or even reassuring voices can be like that. Like, oh, it was nothing. Nothing bad happened. So we get another three parts. And this is normally we don't really see it so clearly. It's just a mess of behavior and criticism and judgment and it's much more tangled. So I'm going to come on to what we do about it in a minute, but I just want to check if there's any questions.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, please, Nancy, yeah.
So in your diagram, do you mind if I refer to your example?
Mm. Please, yeah, it's fine. Thanks
for asking. In your diagram, you haven't named the blockage.
That's right. Yeah.
Is that right?
I haven't named it. No, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if I have.
Okay, You might have done, yeah. Yeah. I don't know what you've written, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sometimes we know what something is about. Sometimes we have a feeling of what that tangle is revolving around. You know, we know there's some trauma or there's some unresolved process, so we might be able to name it at least in one way. Yeah.
Thank you.
But on that note, I want to just expand on that slightly. Is that one reason a tangle is still tangled It's because there's something we haven't heard in it yet. So very often we have these problems and we think, oh, I know what this is. This is all because of this happened to me when I was 6 or 12. But if we really knew, then it wouldn't be. If we'd really heard everything, it wouldn't be tangled anymore. The fact that it remains tangled shows you there's something you haven't heard yet. We often assume we know. This is a lovely post that Anne Weiser Cornell sent today, actually, about anxiety. We often assume we know what we're feeling anxious about. But focusing gives us an opportunity to really check and hear it. What's the particularity of it? So these parts, you know, this part of us needs to tell us not that it was painful, but exactly how it was painful. It needs somebody there to listen, to hear exactly what was difficult. Very, without any judgment, without any agenda. That's what all these parts need, really. But say we're with the small one. What it needed was that, and what it still needs is that. It needs somebody there to say to it, you can be here just as you are, and I'll listen. Whether you say it with words, doesn't matter, but it needs that attention, complete empathic, where you can really hear its pain, hear what was bad, hear what was missing, hear what it needed, in whatever way it shows you. It's such a beautiful gift to give to ourselves, to really deeply listen to what these parts need. Yeah. So maybe that takes us into the next point, which is what do we do? What do we do? Well, every part of us in this complex situation, every part of us needs empathy. So in a way, it's not just this that clearly does, but this may not be even available. All we might be seeing is a lot of tangled, addictive behavior or resistance or avoidance. But every part of us needs to be met with empathy and listening. So the critical voices that are saying, you should be over this by now. Don't be pathetic. Even those parts of us, we can in focusing, you can learn to turn towards and begin to really hear the heart of their worries, what they're really worried about, what they're really holding. And this process of sort of doing this is not easy, because it's. But it can be done, I suppose. We can turn towards these parts of us. The lovely thing about critical parts is they often tell us what they're scared of. So all the judges and all critics are just scared. They're worried. Let's think of an example. Like shame. Shame is really about acceptance, isn't it? It's about really belonging. It's about that deep need to be accepted. You know, so some part of you that sort of feels shameful of this habit. It might say words like, "If only they knew. If only they knew." Or what if they saw how bad it was? So we go, so you can turn to it and just say, "Oh, you're worried about. You're worried." You're worried about if people see it. So often they tell you their concerns. They tell you what they're worried about. You'll look stupid in this. Oh, you're worried I'll look stupid. Most of these parts, the critical voices, are worried or scared. So they need listening just as much as everything else, paying attention. So in focusing, we don't push parts away. We don't push the critic away and banish it. It doesn't work. It just comes back anyway. And then this part, the part of us that takes you to the fridge, that takes you to your phone, that takes you to Netflix, that part needs empathy. Today I was focusing on this very topic. And I began, just began to get this feeling of like it was trying to, it wants me to escape. That's what it wants. It wants me to escape. That's all I got. I didn't know what from or what. Oh, okay. Okay. And I got this good, little good feeling about it. Like, oh, okay. You want me to escape. That's really nice. I like appreciated its effort. It wants me to take me somewhere else. So they need it. That needs empathy. And there's more to hear about that. That needs empathy. It needs what it wants needs listening. And I don't know what's underneath. I don't know what's. I could guess, but I don't actually know what in my case. I know something. I know something about it. So I've not got to that yet. But that place, like I say, needs listening. That pain or that unmet experience. Yep. Also needs listening. We turn to it and listen to what it has to say. So they all there's nothing inside of you that doesn't like empathy. There are no parts we need to banish to resolve a tangle. In my experience, it doesn't work. We can try. Please try. So I love this. It's like deep empathy, really, with all parts of ourselves. What I love about this, it doesn't have to be a war. It doesn't have to be a war inside. For me, I went around many years. If only I could get rid of that feeling, then it would all be okay. If only I could get rid of it. And so I tried. I tried with meditation for 10 years. And meditation brought me some gifts, but it didn't get rid of the feeling that I wanted it to get rid of, because it needed listening to. Anyway, I'll pause there. Any questions, any wonderings, please? Anything is welcome.
Peter?
Uh-huh.
But can't you listen to it, whatever it is, in meditation as well?
By all means. I couldn't, but you might. Someone could, absolutely, yeah. Please don't take that as a comment on anybody's meditation practice. Or it's just how I approached it was one of avoidance. But yeah, it could be very alive and real in your meditation. You're listening totally. Yeah.
Perhaps then the meditation becomes more like focusing.
Yeah, it depends. Yeah, it can be. It depends on what you do in your meditation. But I've met many meditators who, when they describe what they do, sounds very similar to this. So I didn't do it like that, but they do. So yeah. So our job is to be really curious. You know, when we're caught in this tangle, it's to begin to find some curiosity about how we are. Yeah. There's a question here. What do you mean by listening? Yeah. Being present. Being present with something. So listening isn't. So let's take this part as an example. So this is something that feels pain. This is what is not meant by listening. Why do you feel that way? How long have you been feeling that way? What do you need? How can I help you? Even that is too much. Like listening is like, okay, you tell me, just let me know what you're feeling. Just listening, being present. You may not say any words. You would just listen. And it might show you things. And focusing, you might get images or memories. It might show you. So listening has no agenda. Has no. It's as if you can say to it, "You can be here as long as you like. You can be here." I love this. Right, you can be here as long as you like. My son, who's 9 years old, who. Is a very humbling teacher when it comes to listening. He'll tell me in no uncertain terms when I'm not listening. he can feel my agendas in a moment, my agenda of, and if you, if and children can, they pick it up immediately. Mm-hmm. So our hearts are just the same parts of us. They absolutely know when you're not listening, when you've got some kind of agenda of pushing away or I don't really want to hear you. It's really interesting. So you expect an answer from it. Yeah, well, and I'll use that term very broadly. An answer may not come in words. In focusing, typically we, from this kind of part, you probably wouldn't get words. You would more get pictures. It's my experience. Symbols, memories, bodily feelings. You might get words. I'm not saying you never get that. But if you do get words, you check it back, you know. Check it fits what you're feeling. Would expecting an answer be an agenda? Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Izzy. Yeah, it could be. Yeah. Here's another part. Let me just come down here. I'm aware of time, so I'm going to pause soon. But yeah, there is a very strong part of us that wants to know why. This is our rational, we often call this our analytical mind, I don't have a label, but it's very powerful in us, this desire to know. Again, because when we know, we feel safe. When I know, I feel safer, I feel better. So this is a part of us, but it would tries it through thinking, I know what this is about, I know what. So can expecting an answer be an agenda? Yeah, in a way. Sometimes we're with these parts and they don't say anything for a long time. Weeks. We just, really long time. Just listening. So questions coming in, aware of time. So I've got a couple more questions and I'll pause. How does one get closer to the stop process without getting caught on the second and third levels? Yeah, by acknowledging them, exactly. So anytime we notice we have an agenda, or some part of us is pushing or is fearful or is critical, we just say, oh, something in me says I shouldn't be feeling this. This is a very typical kind of thing that happens in focusing. I feel sad. Some part of me feels sad and something else in me says, you shouldn't be feeling this. This is another part. So we acknowledge all the different parts. What is the internal emotional landscape of the listener? Yeah. Well, when you say listener, do you mean your own inner listening? Do you mean? Or if you were listening to someone else?
Yes, when you're listening to someone else.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. If we're in this, in a focusing or any situation in a way when we're listening to someone else, it would. The inner emotional landscape is one of presence, is one of non-judgmental awareness. This is why therapy has some success, right? Because someone can bring non-judgmental awareness to a person. But both not just in a therapeutic setting, in a focusing partnership or even a good friendship, you know, we can have this emotional landscape of empathy, of just listening without agenda. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're not trying to fix, we're not trying to advise or solve someone's problems. We're just listening. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Can we distract ourselves from pain during focusing by meeting lots of fascinating parts? Possibly, yeah. Maybe I'll say it like this. Our guardians can be very creative at how they distract us from the real deal. it may or may not be going on, but that's their job. Their whole purpose in your life is to stop you feeling this feeling. They'll do anything, absolutely anything, the craziest things, or seem like to stop us feeling that. So maybe that happens. I don't know for yourself, but so maybe knowing that they can really go to town to not have you feel something. Because that's their job. So tangles are really resolved by meeting all these parts of empathy again and again and again over. Yeah, maybe these, a transformation comes at a moment in focusing, but very often it's more of a longer process of really meeting all these different parts. these different parts of you and coming into relationship with them. Yeah, healing occurs when that center issue is listened. Well, healing occurs all along the way, Anna, but also maybe this is what we didn't have time for today, but there are many points of transformation in this process. But even listening to a critical part and really hearing what it's worried about can be healing. Listening to the part of you that takes you to the fridge, takes you to Netflix, what's it really wanting for you, is healing. But yeah, a deeper step of healing often comes when we hear this. When that river I mentioned is finally heard, you know, you finally get on a bodily level what that part or what that life force in you needed. It's very profound healing can happen then. But all of it's healing all along the way, which is great. So that's a map of a tangle. And the key is curiosity and presence, being with. We don't have to know what part we're with. Bring it listening, be listening. I mean, it can help. But the key really is this empathic listening to these parts of us. So I wanted to say a little bit about a course I've got coming up in a month's time, more or less a month, on the 22nd, just to finish. So this is a 12-week course for people who know focusing. You just have to know the basics of focusing and listening, where we go into this in much more detail. So we'll over a period of 12 weeks, of 24 hours, two hours a week. We look at we go much more into detail of the tangle, the different kinds of parts, how we meet them, how we strengthen our sense of presence, the different kinds of landscapes in tangles. So that's on my website. So the course is called No Holding Back. So that's its title. I called it that because, in a way, the opposite of the opposite of freedom is holding back. So no holding back. That's the name of the course. 12-week closed group course, between 6 and 10 people. And techniques. You mean what techniques we're using on the course? Yeah, the focusing is a primary method. I mean, you may bring other things to it, absolutely, because everyone's got some tools they use with it. But that's the practice we'll be doing on the actual evening. Every evening we meet, we do some, we'll have a demonstration and some focusing practice. Holding back is more like it's a poetic name for the course, really. It's more like we're not living our life fully because we have these tangled areas of our lives that restrict us, that keep us tight, that keep us small. So when we release them, then a lot of life can come from them. So it's like that's where the name comes from. But it's this, the heart of it is this work of getting into the tangle and really hearing the different parts, really. So I'll send out details of that. I'll send out the quote and I'll send out a couple other pieces probably with that, with an email tomorrow. If there's any last minute questions, I'm happy to answer. But officially that's the end of our evening. Thank you for coming. I'm going to stop the recording, but yeah, people want to still ask questions, I'm very happy to hang around for a few minutes. Someone's asking, am I planning to come to Lisbon? Yeah, sadly that trip has been cancelled. I was planning to teach in Lisbon in April, but yeah, because of coronavirus, I won't be travelling anywhere. Not, hardly even outside my door, so sadly. But yeah, thanks everyone. Please feel free to get in touch, follow up with emails, and yeah, maybe see you in the focusing world. Stop the recording.